His gospel, the woman who, with the hemorrhage for 12 years, really is a, in many ways, is kind of a model of faith for all of us, right? But here's the real thing there, yeah? That this is what happens sometimes in our life of faith. We think to ourselves, okay, you know, I have these problems, I have these things that are going on in my life, but I don't want to bother God about this, I don't want to bother other people about this, because, you know, other people have it worse than me, and so I'm not even going to bring it to the Lord. I'm not going to share this with anybody because I don't want to, you know, have all this pity or whatever else, right? And the woman who's who has the hemorrhage, she doesn't have that. She's got a little bit of that, right? She's got a little bit of that attitude. She says, look, Jesus looks really busy right now. You know, I don't want to stop him. He's on his way somewhere. It looks like he's in a hurry. Maybe if I just reach out and touch the tassel of his cloak, right? Maybe that'll just be enough, right? But what happens anyway? Jesus anyway stops as soon as he feels, right, that somebody has been healed, something has happened, there has been this action of faith, he stops, right? Is he in a hurry? Yeah, right? Is the synagogue, or is the official in a hurry? Yeah, I'm sure, right? My daughter has died. I need you here quickly, right? You need to come fast. But Jesus says, this is on my time, right? Not your time, but my time. So he turns to the woman anyway and says, what's going on here? What's happened? He says, take courage, daughter. Your faith has saved you, right? She had the faith to reach out, but she couldn't believe that maybe God wanted to spend any kind of time with her. And sometimes that's what we are like. We think to ourselves, well, God's too busy, right? He's got so many other things going on. Certainly, he doesn't have time for this prayer. He doesn't have any time for me. And that's the lesson here in this gospel passage for us, right? That yes, God will make time for us. God always has time for us. This is exactly what he wants, is for us to reach out to him with the things that are going on in our lives. Not to hide anything. Not to say, well, it's not so important right now. Maybe there's other people who need things more, whatever else. It's always fascinating. If you've ever done any kind of street evangelization, I don't know if anybody has, but even sometimes, not even street evangelization, standing outside of Mass or wherever else, and if you ask somebody, you know, what is it that I can pray for you for? They say, well, you know, not don't pray for me, right? It's kind of this odd sort of humility. Well, don't pray for me. I'm not that important. Pray for peace in the world. Pray for an end to violence. Pray for this. Pray for other people, whatever. But they say, well, don't pray for me, right? Because certainly God has more important things than me. He doesn't. We are, each and every single one of us, you are the most important thing to God. That's why he gave his life on the cross for you. For each and every one of us. So never to fall into this temptation that our problems are too little or they're not significant enough for God, that he won't have time to pay attention to that. There's a good sort of corollary there for us too when we think about how we pray for our country, especially on this day that we celebrate independence. That you have to, sometimes we have this idea like, okay, well, we have to become, you know, sort of countercultural, or we have to be against the culture because the culture is so bad. And Cardinal George would always say, really, you can't be countercultural because you're in the culture. It's part of the air that you breathe. It's part of everything that is around you. You can't be against the culture. You can't hate the culture. If you want to evangelize, if you want to convert, you have to love the culture. You have to love the place where you are. And so it is too for us as Catholics. There's a line there, yeah? That we have to love our country and we have to pray for our country. But we also have this responsibility, we have this obligation to recognize that our country is in need of further conversion, that our country is in need of growing more and more in the values of the gospel. And if we can't recognize that and if we don't see that, then we don't really actually love our country very much at all, right? We sort of put it on a pedestal, we begin to idolize it. So we have to love the country, and we can't hate the country, we can't hate the culture. It's part of the very air that surrounds us. It's part of everything that we are here. Yeah. So we have to love the country. We have to love the culture to pray, but also be willing then to point out, right? To point out those things that need change. To point out those things that need conversion. In the same way, not to fall into that trap to say, well, you know, but if we think about other countries, you know, things are better here in this area and that area, and so we're not going to waste our time praying for change or working for change in our country because there's other places that have it worse, that maybe God's attention needs to be somewhere else first, right, before it needs to alight upon us. But that's not the example of the gospel. That's not the message that Jesus gives us. Always bring to him our own problems, certainly. Always know that God has time for us. And always know that God is desirous of his grace being there to be for further conversion. That grace is there for further conversion each and every day, for each and every place on earth. So we give thanks to God for the gift of this country. We give thanks to God that he has placed us here so that we may be those voices of the gospel, so that we may be those messengers of the gospel. As the Constitution talks about, the preamble, right, to form a more perfect union, right, to always be trying to form a more perfect union, to always trying to bring things to a greater perfection in Jesus Christ.